The following is a Sunday feast lecture on the Bhagavad Gita as it is. Chapter number 9, text number 34. Given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasadhikari. Recorded on June 8th, 2014, in Phoenix, Mauritius.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Man mana bhava man bhakto man yaji man namaskuru mam me vaishashi yukt vaivang atmanang matpadayanah. Translation and purport. By His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Engage your mind always in thinking of me. Become my devotee. Offer obeisances to me and worship me. Being completely absorbed in me, surely you will come to me. Purport. In this verse, it is clearly indicated that Krishna consciousness is the only means of being delivered from the clutches of this contaminated material world. Sometimes unscrupulous commentators distort the meaning of what is clearly stated here, that all devotional service should be offered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. Unfortunately, unscrupulous commentators divert the mind of the reader to that which is not at all feasible. Such commentators do not know that there is no difference between Krishna's mind and Krishna. Krishna is not an ordinary human being. He's the absolute truth. His body, his mind, and he himself are one and absolute. It is stated in the Kurma Purana, it is quoted by Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Goswami, in his Anupashya commentary on Chaitanya Charitamrita, 5th chapter, Adi Leela, verses 41 through 48, Deha Dehi Vibhedo Yang Neshvare Vidyate Kvachit. This means, there's no difference in Krishna, the Supreme Lord, between himself and his body. But because the commentators did not know this science of Krishna, they hide Krishna and divide his personality from his mind and from his body. Although this is sheer ignorance of the science of Krishna, some men make profit out of misleading people. There are some who are demonic, who think they think also of Krishna, but enviously, just like King Kamsa's Krishna's uncle, he was also thinking of Krishna always, but he thought of Krishna as his enemy. He was always in anxiety, wondering when Krishna would come to kill him. That kind of thinking will not help us. One should be thinking of Krishna in devotional love. That is bhakti. One should cultivate the knowledge of Krishna continuously. What is that favorable cultivation? It is to learn from bona fide teacher. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We have several times explained that his body is not material but is eternal, blissful knowledge. This kind of talk about Krishna will help one become a devotee. Understanding Krishna otherwise from the wrong source will prove fruitless. One should therefore engage his mind in the eternal form, the primal form of Krishna, with conviction in his heart that Krishna is the Supreme. He should engage himself in worship. There are hundreds of thousands of temples in India for the worship of Krishna, and devotional service is practiced there. When such practice is made, one has to offer obeisances to Krishna. One should lower his head before the deity and engage his mind, his body, his activities, everything. That will make one fully absorbed in Krishna without deviation. This will help one transfer to Krishna Loka. One should not be deviated by the unscrupulous commentators. One must engage in the 9 different processes of devotional service, beginning with hearing and chanting about Krishna. Pure devotional service is the highest achievement of human society. The 7th and 8th chapters of Bhagavad Gita have explained pure devotional service to the Lord that is free from speculative knowledge, mystic yoga, and fruitive activities. Those who are not purely sanctified may be attracted by different features of the Lord, like the impersonal Brahma Jyoti and the localized Paramatma. But a pure devotee directly takes to the service of the Supreme Lord. There is a beautiful poem about Krishna in which it is clearly stated that any person who is engaged in the worship of demigods is most unintelligent and cannot achieve at any time the supreme reward of Krishna. The devotee in the beginning may sometimes fall from the standard, but still he should be considered superior to all other philosophers and yogis. One who always engages in Krishna consciousness should be understood to be a perfectly saintly person. His accidental non-devotional activities will diminish, and he will soon be situated without any doubt in complete perfection. The pure devotee has no actual chance to fall down, because the Supreme Godhead personally takes care of his pure devotees. Therefore, the intelligent person should take directly to the process of Krishna consciousness and happily live in this material world. He will eventually receive the supreme reward of Krishna. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports to the ninth chapter of Srimad Bhagavad Gita in the matter of the most confidential knowledge.
Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Vadijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sagana Lalita Shivishokan Vitamsha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschat Yadishatarine.
So, Krishna is telling us that we should always be absorbed in Him. So, it is warned in the purport, there is another way to be absorbed in Krishna. And that is to think of Krishna as your enemy, like Kamsa. So that is called pratikul, unfavorable Krishna consciousness. The other type is anukul, favorable Krishna consciousness. Anya bilashyata shunyam gyanakarmandanavitam anukuyena krishnanu shenanam bhaktir uttama. Rupa Goswami describes this anukul in his shloka Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.11. One should render transcendental loving service to Lord Sri Krishna favorably, without desire for material profit or gain through food of activities or mental speculation. That is called pure devotional service. So, this process of Krishna consciousness means to awaken feelings of love for Krishna. We all have the tendency to love. We may love our country, we love our cat, our dog, our family members, our friends. They may love ourselves. Is it? We have a tendency to love. Everyone has a tendency to love. So that loving propensity, that should be directed to Krishna. When you love someone, don't you always like to think of them? Don't you always like to communicate with them? Don't you always like to be with them? You see, that is love. If you love someone, you always want to serve them and please them, isn't it? So we should take this tendency to love and we should repose it in Krishna. That will be the perfection of our loving propensity. If you channel your love elsewhere, it is pollution. Because all loving energy comes from Krishna. You have to recycle the loving energy. If you don't recycle, then you're polluting the atmosphere. So you have to recycle that loving propensity by offering to Krishna. And when you offer your love to Krishna, because Krishna is the root of all existence, then automatically your love goes to all living beings. You become the best lover of your spouse, the best lover of your family members, the best lover of your friends, the best lover of your country, the best lover of humanity, the best lover of the animals, the best lover of the plants. You understand this point? When you water the root, all the leaves and branches are nourished. When you feed your belly, you nourish every single part of your body. So, since Krishna is the root, or he's like the belly of everything, when you give your love to Krishna, purely, fully, every ounce of your love to Krishna, then you purely love everyone and everything automatically. Krishna says, for those who love, who worship me with exclusive devotion, I preserve what they have, I carry what they lack. So Krishna wants that exclusively we love him. He wants every single bit of our love. Is it difficult to love Krishna? Actually, it's not difficult at all to love Krishna. If you will simply take the time and trouble to learn about Krishna, as it is sometimes said, to know him is to love him. If you will simply take the time and trouble to learn about Krishna, about his activities, his pastimes, his qualities, his characteristics, his paraphernalia, his associates, his teachings, if you will take the time and trouble to learn everything about Krishna, I can guarantee you this. You will fall madly in love with Krishna. Because there is no one more beautiful, no one more amazing, no one more powerful, no one more knowledgeable, no one more wealthy, no one more renowned, and no one more famous than Krishna anywhere in all of existence. Anyone who possesses any of these potencies is simply getting it from Krishna. Because he is the reservoir of all power, all beauty, all renunciation, all knowledge, all wealth, and all fame. So if you're attracted by those qualities in some person, they're simply borrowing those qualities from Krishna. We may be attracted by some beautiful person in this world, but look at that person 50 years later, and they're an ugly old senior citizen. This material beauty is temporary, it doesn't last. Someone will be very, very beautiful. They're voted Miss Universe or Miss Mauritius. You see? Very beautiful. But in 50 years, no. You couldn't even identify that it's the same person. You see? But Krishna never deteriorates. When you give your love to Krishna, you're never disappointed. Oh, my beautiful Krishna has now become an old, ugly old man. No, you will never be disappointed. I loved that beautiful young boy. He was so handsome. He was so charming. He was so powerful. And now he's some old senior citizen in a wheelchair, and I'm all disappointed in my hero's wheelchair. He has hard of hearing. He's wearing glasses. He has to go for a dialysis every week. You see, Krishna will never be like that, you see. Krishna remains full of energy, beautiful, charming, forever, you see. So just try to love Krishna. Venum kvanantam adavindadalaya taksam barhavatam samisitam buddhasundarangam kandarpakoti kamaniya vishesha shogam govindamari purusham tamaham bhajami. I worship Govinda, the prime evil lord, who is adept at playing on his flute with blooming eyes like lotus petals, head decked with peacock's feather, with the figure of beauty tinged with the hue of blue clouds, and whose unique loveliness is charming millions of cupids. Have you ever seen anybody whose eyes bloom like a lotus petal? You see? Who, when he plays his flute, he attracts everyone throughout the whole universe, even the animals. You take some popular musicians of this world, like the Beatles were very popular, you see. Many people would, if the Beatles came to Mauritius, everyone would go to hear the Beatles, at least most people. The general population would go mad, all the Beatles have come, let's go hear the Beatles, you see. But the animals wouldn't be attracted. They wouldn't care. It wouldn't make any difference to them. But when Krishna plays his flute, the gopis are attracted, the gopas are attracted, the butterflies are attracted, the peacocks are attracted, the cows are attracted, the calves are attracted. The deer are completely spellbound. When Krishna plays his flute, everyone, every single living entity, even the grass is enchanted. The grass growing on the ground is enchanted by Krishna's flute. That's the amazing quality when he blows on his flute. You see? So where do you find any musician like that in this world who can charm even the grass and the grasshoppers? Even the river Jamuna becomes charmed by hearing Krishna's flute. Where do you find such a person in this world, you see? The scholars are trying to find out the absolute by studying the Vedas. You see? But they cannot find. Advaitam achyuttam anadam ananta rupam manjang parana purusham naviyovanam sha vedeshu durvam adurvam apabhakto govindam adipurusham tamaham vajami. I worship Govinda, the prime evil lord, who is inaccessible to the Vedas. You cannot squeeze Krishna out of the Vedas by your intellectual study. It's not possible. He's inaccessible to the Vedas. How is he obtainable? By pure loving devotion of the soul. You want to capture Krishna? By love you will capture Krishna. He's without a second. His form is not Shabitake. He's without a beginning. His form is endless. And he is the beginning and the eternal Purusha. Yet he is a person possessing the beauty of a blooming youth. Can you imagine a person whose form is endless? If you were to take a measuring tape and say, well, how tall is he? And your measuring tape would never come to an end. He can be 6 feet tall, at the same time encompass the entire of a form which is endless. He can be in one place doing one thing, at the same time be in every place and be everything. If you can imagine such a person. Actually, everything that exists at this very minute in Mauritius and everywhere in the whole universe is all existing within the form of Krishna. Did you know that? We are actually existing within Krishna's form right now. Because his form is endless. In spite of having such great magnificence, still he's He's a young boy with a blooming youth, charming the gopis and the gopas with his transcendental pastimes. So there's some questions. Okay. What is the role of the sadhu in today's world? The sadhu's role is to deliver the suffering humanity from ignorance by making them Krishna conscious. Why is the Kalki Purana not available within ISKCON where other Puranas are available? Prabhupada has given us the most essential Purana, which is the Bhagavad Purana. It is not so essential. Is Krishna funny? Yes, Krishna cracks the funniest jokes. Krishna is so funny that he can make everyone laugh. He can make everyone completely go crazy with laughter. When Krishna is funny, nobody can stop from laughing. Even the most sober, straight-laced people become completely overwhelmed with laughter when Krishna exhibits his transcendental humor. Can you please elaborate on the elements that the Lord Krishna brings when he comes to deliver the mankind in the context of Lord Ramachandra and Panchatattva? Elements. Krishna comes with all his associates, just like Ram comes with associates, Panchatattva, Lord Chaitanya comes with associates. They all, whenever the Lord comes, he brings his associates with him. What if one is able to fast on Ekadasi due to illness? Well, just take some fruits, then you're okay. What is the cause of laziness in devotional service? It means you don't have any love for Krishna. You see, if you love Krishna, you will not be lazy. But because we don't love Krishna, therefore we're lazy. So the way to overcome laziness is by love. Try to develop your love for Krishna, and then you will not automatically not be lazy. How can we remember Krishna while working? Keep the picture of Krishna on your desk at your office. And when you get your paycheck at the end of the month, give as much as you can to the temple, as much as you possibly can. That way you can remember Krishna. I'm working for Krishna every day at this office. How can we overcome selfishness and offer sincere service towards everyone? By surrendering to a bona fide spiritual master and following his instructions. And he will teach you how to selflessly work for the benefit of all living entities. Could you please comment on these three personalities that they have something in common? Srila Prabhupada, Mahatma Gandhi, and Mother Teresa, they're all living entities. They're all jiva souls, and that way there's the one thing they have in common. But Mahatma Gandhi and Mother Teresa are acting within the material sphere. Mahatma Gandhi was described as a saint amongst the politicians and a politician amongst the saints. He never went to Kumbh Mela, you see. He was not inclined in that way. He was a politician. Prabhupada actually encouraged him to take up preaching Gita. He did not do so, and he was assassinated. So he was a very pious politician, but he did not accept that Krishna was a person, a historical person. He took Krishna as a myth. So he was a pious, but he wasn't actually a devotee of Krishna. Although he had very good, on the sociological level, he had very good vision of what India needed to be strong economically. He wanted to go, didn't want industrialization. He wanted to go back to the village cottage industries, you see. So his followers immediately, as soon as Gandhi was out, they immediately reversed all of his policies and brought in industrialization. His followers, Nehru, didn't follow Gandhi. He changed Gandhi's program and brought in big factories, you see. Industrialization. Gandhi wanted to get back to the villages, the village life. He had some good vision in this way. But his followers, they wanted to bring the big cities and the big industries. So they've spoiled India. And Mother Teresa, she's pious, but she's not on the level of Prabhupada. She was serving meat to the people. Srila Prabhupada said that we should regularly hear Srimad Bhagavatam, but what if someone can't come to the temple? Then you read the Bhagavatam at home. If Harinam Sankirtan is the only recommended method of self-realization, why do we have deity worship in ISKCON temple? To help us purify our Sankirtan. The deity worship helps us to purely chant the holy names. Therefore, it is accepted. At the present mind, we are chanting, but our chanting is full of offense, aparad. The deity worship helps us to purify our chanting. Therefore, we accept deity worship as vital part of our Sankirtan Yajna. Do parents who are unfavorable of devotees who take to Krishna consciousness make some Krishna consciousness advancement when the parents unfavorably mention the name of Krishna? Anybody who unfavorably mentions the name of Krishna, they have to suffer a reaction for them. But in due course of time, if their children become pure devotees, they will become delivered. After they, of course, they have to suffer the reactions for all of their offenses. How to maintain one's Krishna consciousness all the time and attract Krishna despite the bad influence of Kali Yuga. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Chant as much as possible. Bow down to Krishna. Think of Krishna. Serve Krishna. Remember Krishna. Serve Krishna's devotees. In this way, you can drive away the influence of the age of Kali. Did the Brahma Samhita come before even the Vedas were revealed to Brahma? I haven't read anything about this, but it is also Vedas. How you can say Brahma Samhita is not Vedas? It is also Vedas. How did Brahma come to grasp the super excellency of Krishna's pastimes even before the creation? Well, he was sitting on the... He was born on the lotus flower, and it was completely dark. He didn't know what was going on. So he went crawling down the stem of the lotus flower to see what's going on here. Who am I? What is the purpose of my existence? What's the meaning of life? What's going on? He didn't know. Yeah, but he couldn't find anything, so he crawled back up to his lotus seat. But then he heard two syllables vibrated nearby. Tapa. He went, oh, I should do tapasya. So he did tapasya, and then he had a realization of, he realized Krishna, he saw the spiritual world. In this way, the Vedic wisdom became revealed to him. His service to man, service to God, or vice versa? Vice versa. You don't serve man without serving God. You see? They have a philosophy that's called Dridha Narayan. Narayan is the poor man in the street. If you serve the poor man in the street, no, you're serving God. But Narayan becomes a poor man in the street. He's some beggar. That's Narayan out there. Do you have beggars here on the streets? In the U.S. now, we have beggars in the streets. Every intersection you go, there's some beggars there who are living on the side of the road, begging, smoking some cigarettes and begging for money for their next cigarette. Begging, living on the side of the road, beggars in the U.S. I haven't seen any beggars here. That means you're better off than the U.S. So, it's not that by serving man, you're serving God. It's like saying, well, how do you water the tree? You water the leaves and branches, or you water the root? Or how do you feed your body? Just like my hand needs nutrition, as every part of my body needs nutrition. So how will I feed the hand? Will I just squeeze the rice in my fingers, get my nutrition like that? No. You get the nutrition by feeding the belly. It's like saying, well, is feeding the hand seen as the same? Do I feed my belly by feeding my hand, or do I feed my hand by feeding my belly? That's how you can re-ask the question. So what is it? Do I feed my hand by feeding my belly, or do I feed my belly by feeding my hand? Which is it? Who will say it? Can anybody say it?
Feed my hand by feeding the belly.
You feed the hand by feeding the belly. You can't just take some rice in your fingers and feed your belly by squeezing the rice in your fingers. But if you feed the belly, then that nutrition goes to every bodily part. So when you serve God, you're serving man, you're serving the animals, you're serving the plants, you're serving the demigods. Now you're serving everyone when you serve Krishna. But when you try to serve them separately, you're not getting anywhere. You're not even serving them. You can't feed your hand independently. You can only feed it by feeding the belly. Are the living entities included in the Mahatattva? Sure. Do we suffer when death is near? That depends. Are you Krishna conscious? If you're Krishna conscious, when death becomes near, you become excited. Wow! This is great. It's like you've been saving up for 20 years for your trip to the Holy Dham, and now finally you got enough money for your ticket, you got your passport, and you got your vacation time from work. Wow, tomorrow I'm going to Vrindavan. I'm packing my bags. Ki jai, right? So that's what, if you're Krishna conscious and death comes near, you go, wow, this is great. There was even one god brother of mine. He was dying from some terminal disease and he was feeling sorry for us. You poor Prabhus have to stay here and I'm getting out of here. You see? So if you're not Krishna conscious, death is scary. Oh my God, I got to give up my house, my wife, my kids, my this, my that. You see? If you're not Krishna conscious, this is how you can see if you're Krishna conscious or not. Does death scare you? If it does, you're not Krishna conscious. Does the idea of death enliven you? Then you are Krishna conscious. So you can easily see whether you're Krishna conscious or not. Does death sound like an enlivening, thrilling experience, or does it sound like a scary nightmare? You can judge your own Krishna consciousness by asking yourself this question. I'm not going to take a poll today, but you can judge. You can test your own consciousness by asking yourself this question. Am I afraid of death, or am I looking forward to death? What can we do to love Krishna and do selfless devotional service? Well, you have to love his devotee. Prabhupada quoted the English saying, if you love me, love my dog. And that's why we have a guru, you see. I give my heart to my Guru Maharaj because he's Krishna's representative. So if you want to love Krishna's dog, you see. And then your love with Krishna will happen. Can someone aspire for initiation if the person is strongly addicted to sense gratification and fear of falling down after initiation? Sure. You can definitely aspire for it. Just test yourself. If you can hold out for, it used to be 6 months when Prabhupada was here. Now they've made it a little tougher, at least a year you have to be able to practice. If you can make it for a whole year without falling down, you should go for it. You make it for 1 year, why not make it for 2 years or three? If you can follow the principles for 1 year, because it gets easier. The more you do it, the easier it gets. The first year is the toughest. If you can make it 1 year, the second year is easier. The third year is easier than that. The fourth year just keeps getting easier. So if you can make it for 1 year, you should definitely take the risk. It's worth it. It may be a gamble, but the odds are on your side if you can make it through 1 year. Devotees who suffer severe illness are not allowed to stay at the temple and serve. Then where if the devotee should go for association? Devotees should go and associate with them. If they're stuck somewhere in a hospital room or in a wheelchair, they can't get anywhere, then you go visit them. Is there any hope for devotees to continue progress in his spiritual life if he meets with an accidental fall down? We just read that today in the purport. His accidental non-devotional activities will diminish and he soon will be situated without any doubt in complete perfection. Where the devotee should take shelter when ISKCON authorities prevent the devotee from coming to the temple? Well, you have to find out why they're preventing you. Maybe you're committing offenses. You have to see, why am I being, what is it that I'm doing wrong that banned me from the temple? And then you can rectify yourself, so you're welcome at the temple. We want everyone to come, but if you come in here and you're committing all offenses, then naturally you may not be welcome. So you have to see, what am I doing wrong? Why am I not allowed? Talk to the temple president and work out a negotiate, find out what you have to do to be welcome here, and straighten yourself out. If Krishna is the master of everything, then what is the importance of the demigods? They're not very important. Krishna just doesn't personally have to do all this stuff. You see, and the demigods help him do it. Just like, I just saw you blink your eyes. This gentleman here, you blinked your eyes. That's under control of a demigod. You just blinked yours, you see. So this is some demigod controlling the blinking of your eyes, because we don't consciously do it. We do it when it needs to be done to keep the eyes, from getting too dry. It's a natural function. So there's a demigod in charge of making sure that your eyes blink, so your eyes stay, don't get dried out and they remain healthy. The demigod is responsible for millions and billions of eye blinks all over the universe. You understand that the animals, the demigods, he's in charge of those eye blinks. Now, Krishna has to do that personally? No. He has a demigod do it, you see. There's a demigod in charge of the eye blinking. I saw you blink yours too, you see. You blinked them again. This is under a demigod's control. And he's doing this as a service to Krishna. I saw you blink yours, you see. Yeah, I saw you blink yours. So it's all under the demigod's control. Is Sankarshan and Ananta Sesh the same personality? Yes. Sometimes described in that way, yes. Okay, we have 5 minutes. Any more questions? So we'll continue then. We'll do a wrap-up then on this wonderful verse. Engage your mind always in thinking of me, become my devotee, offer obeisances to me, and worship me. Being completely absorbed in me, surely you will come to me. So somehow or other we have to awaken those feelings of love for Krishna. Because when we do that, then naturally we will think of Krishna, bow down to Krishna, we'll worship him, we'll become his devotee, become completely absorbed in him. So the more how do you do that then? You have to hear about Krishna. The more you hear about him, that's why this temple is very important. Because here the katha is going on, the Krishna katha is going on. Much chitta mangata prana bhavniyantak paraspadam katiyantashtamam nityam tashyantacha brahmantacha. The thoughts of my pure devotees dwell in me. Their lives are surrendered unto me, and they derive great satisfaction and bliss by enlightening one another and conversing about me. Ramanti, they bliss out, you see. So you want the bliss, you want the nectar, then you have to come together with the devotees, hear and chant about Krishna more and more and more and more. And then your heart will melt. Because actually, you know something? You're a Paramahamsa. You just forgot. You're actually a pure devotee of the Lord. But you're covered by lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion, and envy. The more you hear about Krishna, that original Paramahamsa, pure bhakti, will become manifest. It's already there. Like you have a million dollars buried in your backyard. Or $10 billion buried in your backyard. You have the greatest treasure, more valuable than all the wealth of Kuvera, the treasure of the demigods, buried right now within your heart. In this process of hearing about Krishna, chanting Krishna, serving the devotees of Krishna, associating the devotees of Krishna, this is digging, 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 digging. All that dirt is being cleared away. The lust goes away. The anger, the madness, the illusion, the envy, you're just clearing it all out, and gradually, 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 that sadhu who you actually are becomes manifest. You're a great saint. You're a great saintly person, a pure devotee, paramahams, but it's simply buried. So go on hearing, more and more and more, chanting, hearing about Krishna. You see, go crazy about Krishna. Become mad after Krishna. You see, Krishna mania. We want to become, just like they had Beatlemania back in the 60s, we want to have Krishna mania, you see. Ah, Krishna, you see. We want to mad after Krishna. I want to hear about him. I remember when I was in high school, deep Beatlemania hit. I never forget coming back on the bus after high school in the afternoon, and all you could hear, the girls were talking, which one do you like best? I like George. No, I like John. I like Ringo. That's all you could hear was Beatle kata. All the girls, it's Beatles. Every day, it's all I heard in the bus drive, is Beatles, you see. So we have to be like that. Krishna. We have to become Krishna maniacs, you see. I just want to hear about Krishna. Just want to talk Krishna. I have to become a fan of Krishna, you see. I'm a Krishna fan. I'd like to see pictures of Krishna. I'd like to talk about him. I want to go meet him if I can in Goloka as soon as possible. I want to go to his place where he had his pastimes in Vrindavan. I want to worship his deity for him. I just want to get completely absorbed in Krishna, you see. That's what we have to do. We have to become Krishna maniacs. Lord Chaitanya was a Krishna maniac. He taught us how to go mad in love of Krishna. So we have to become like Lord Chaitanya, completely absorbed in Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So our time is up, and I thank you all very, very much for coming together to serve Krishna by glorifying his name and bowing down to him, observing his arati and honoring his prasadam. Please work together cooperatively and make this center a grander and grander success with every passing year. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.